Good morning to you. Book of Judges. Since Sister Linda isn't here to tell us where we at. No, unless your name is Yes Sir.
No, you, I thought you said Brother Vaughn when I was walking out the door.
Okay. Yes Sir. We are in the book of Judges. That's right. Chapter. Yeah. Chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Good morning to you. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam in the groves. You ever forget anything? Sure you have. You ever forget anything important?
Yes.
Sure you have. Do you still forget things?
Yes.
Sure you do. Sure you do. The children of Israel, at this particular point in their lives, were the third generation. Third generation. And what we've seen and heard so far in the book of Judges is that these generation of people forgot God. They forgot Him. And what a tragedy that is in the life of anybody if they profess to know God and they forget God. Now, I wonder if anybody ever intentionally forgets God. Some do. Some do. Some people do intentionally forget who God is. And at the same time, the reason why people sometimes intentionally forget who God is, because in our own lives, we intentionally forget sometimes who other people is, because that's what we choose to do. We forget some things, you know. Some things are horrible in our lives, we want to forget them. Some people are horrible in our lives, we want to forget them. We forget all the time. But the issue today is, with this lesson, is forgetting God. Judges chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Forgetting God. Good morning, bro. Now, the cycle, of course, in Judges continues to begin with God appointing a judge. A judge now is going to be appointed. And after setting the scene, we know full well again that this generation here, the Bible says, didn't know the Lord. So we're going to find ourselves with now some scriptures surrounding the life of judges. Now, before we consider this first judge here, because we got a few of them to go through, it's important to understand what a judge was. Anybody got an idea what a judge was?
Hmm?
What do you mean, like UPS delivery? Usually a judge, he had two functions. Military leader, like Sister Daniel said, to deliver people from their oppression. They cried out to God all the time, and they cried out to God because they were punished for their sins. So they cried out to God, and over and over and over again in the book of Judges, you're going to see that God does what? That's right. He rescues them. The judge was also there to settle disputes sometimes and provide direction when it comes to God. So this is the first situation after the death of Joshua and of the leaders of this particular generation. This is the third generation from those that walked the wilderness. So the text begins with the people of Israel doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord. We just read that, right? And why do you think this has happened? Why are people turning to evil? But the answer is given in verse number 7. And what does it say in verse number 7? They forgot the Lord. So there's nothing else for them to do. If you're forgetting God, then the exact opposite of that is that you're going to just be steeped in evil. Now, some people don't like to call themselves evil or even talk about evil at all. But if we're not righteous, if we're not right with God, there's only one other alternative. We're evil. We're just an evil, evil lot. They forgot God. And that means that the Lord no longer controlled nothing in their lives at all. or even control what they knew about God. Because some people think they know about God, but they don't know who God is. And that happens in our world as well today. A lot of people just, they talk about God and about the Bible and have no idea, no clue about who he is or what his word says. But these people knew who God was. They had a sense of knowing who God was because the generations before them had taught them who he was. But in order to forget something, you have to at least know that it exists, right? And that you know who it is. They knew who God was, and they knew what God required, but they forgot the Lord. They forgot him. They knew who God was and knew what God required of them. They knew what his desire was. But those things weren't important, right? Your parents got mad at you before because you didn't prioritize things that need to be prioritized. You chose to selectively forget about those things when you should have been doing those things instead of doing the things that you wanted to do. They knew who God was, and they selected in their own minds to be a people who are just going to not prioritize those things when it comes to God, and it doesn't mean anything to them at all. Imagine in this day and age that we live, God not meaning anything to anyone. And we know people like that, don't we? Sure we do. God doesn't mean a thing to anybody. They will do anything and say anything, and it doesn't matter. They don't fear consequences, and they don't fear God. Not one bit. Not one bit. Here's what I'm saying here. Here's an example for it. We don't think that it's important in our lives when a typhoon or hurricane hits those specific islands. We think about those people and we think about the things they're going through. And soon enough, just as we hear the announcement on the news that they got a typhoon over there and their houses are falling down, there's water everywhere, we say, oh yeah, okay, good, that's fine. The next day we forget about it. But then a hurricane comes here. And what happens then? Then we remember. We don't prioritize things at all. We choose to selectively forget the things that we want to forget. We know the information about God, but the information about God and who he is doesn't make an impact in our lives. So now a hurricane is coming. The one in the Pacific Islands didn't impact us, but the one that's upon us impacts us. So we take God and we put him on the back burner, and we don't allow God's word to impact us. Then what happens is the fire comes to the front burner, we start to feel it, and we realize, you know what? I forgot. You ever forgot something on the stove? If it was on low, it doesn't matter. It was on. And what are the consequences of that? Sometimes your whole house burns down. And that's what's happening to us at the same time. We tend to forget about God. Too many of us put God on the back burner, and we realize that our houses are falling down. Our spiritual houses are just burned to the ground. Because we have simply forgot about God. And it's easy to do. Right? Because we want to give Satan credit in the things that he does as well, right? Satan deceives us. He takes us away from the faith that we have in Christ Jesus, and we forget. We forget. And the information about God no longer impacts our lives, our hearts, our behavior, our speech. We become who we are, a person without God. Listen. Our heart becomes cold and hard, even in the midst of us knowing what the truth of God is. We still find ourselves having a cold heart when it comes towards God. Too many of us, too many times, we read over the scriptures, read over those words, and the scriptures have zero impact in our lives because we read over it over and over and over again. We don't know the context. We don't know who's speaking. We know who he's speaking to, and we don't know what he's speaking about. We just got out. Oh, you know, I read the Bible. I read it. But what good does it do to memorize the scriptures if the scriptures have no impact on your life? None whatsoever. And what has happened? We simply forgot the Lord. And that's something we need to think about, because we're not exempt from that. Even though we feel like we're educated and we can read better and we can write better than the generations before us, we live in a spiritual world where there is a spiritual battle going on all of the time. And that battle takes us off of our game and we forget who God is. Forget. This generation, didn't know who he was. They didn't know who he was at all. So the information about God doesn't affect the heart. It doesn't hit their heart. Like in Acts chapter 2, they said it will prick to the heart. All the information that Peter and 11 was given, it hit them in the heart. And they remembered that they crucified the Christ. Right? Here's what Peter says to the Jews dispersed in 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 8. He says these words. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective. These qualities keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good one, isn't it? It's a good one. We're supposed to be growing in each one of these qualities in our lives, making every effort to add these qualities to our faith so that we do not forget about God. So we're not ineffective and we're not unfruitful. Here's what Peter says next. If you don't have those qualities in your life and if they're not increasing, here's what he says next, 2 Peter 1:9. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted and blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. A lot of people remember their baptisms, right? A lot of people remember when they were baptized. It was a wonderful time in their lives. They were all into God, and God was all for them, and he's still all for them. But the fact of the matter is, your baptism has been so far away, you forgot what impact it had on your life. Or has it had any? Have you been converted actually to know who God is and know who you are and who he has called you to be? He says we become nearsighted, that we become blind and forget that we were cleansed from our former sins. And the problem is that too many of us, even in the world, we walk around all the time about saying that we're blessed with this and we're blessed with that and we just wonderfully blessed and all that adages that go with that blessing stuff. The problem is, if we are blessed as we say we are, why have we forgotten what God has done? And that's what these Israelite nation is doing right now. They know the history of the generation before them and they know the history of the first generation walking through the wilderness. They know that. They know who God is. But they choose to forget it. Anybody got anything to say about that? So, we got to be reminded then, right, of the things that we know. Not just so we can memorize those things. Because again, memorize them doesn't do us any good. Because it doesn't impact our hearts. Let me tell you what I got written down here. Listen to me. Tell me if you're tracking with me on this one. Sometimes we find ourselves in front of the Lord's Supper in a shameful way. The Lord's Supper is not something that needs to be kept to keep God happy. Sometimes that's what we have in our hearts. We take it. God gonna be pleased with me because I've come to church, I've sang, I've given, I've prayed, I heard the preached sermon. And I done took the Lord's communion. God ought to be happy with me, right? You can do all of those things. You can go through all of those rituals because that's what it becomes in your life. But it doesn't impact your heart. Your heart is not in it. You can't love anybody without your heart being involved. And you can give them a dozen roses. You can give them a house, a car. You can give them the whole world. But if your heart isn't in it, you're forgetting. That's what he told the church in the book of Revelation. You have forgotten your first, what's that word? Yeah, forgot your first love. Forgot him. Forgot him, and they turned to idolatry. the idolatry. And even in our own hearts and minds, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, that's why the scripture says, when some take it, they fall asleep. They take it and they're unworthy of taking it because they're just remembering the Lord's Supper and not the importance of what the Lord's Supper is and what God has done for us as a result of that. And we can't be blind. We can't be misrepresented. We can't forget who God is. We just can't. God is constantly modeling us and transforming us by the actions and words that we represent each and every day. Paul said in the book of Romans 12, don't conform yourself to the world, right? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you transform by the renewing of your mind, it's less likely that you're going to forget. What's that old phrase when you go back to the neighborhood and people look at you and they say this or that about you, and they always come up to you no matter what your intent is, good or not so good, and they say, you know, you forgot where you were. Don't they hit you with that all the time? Well, that's what's going on with these folks right here. They forgot from whence they came. Egypt, Red Sea, right? Wilderness, man and quail, so much of it they complain coming through their nose, right? Mixing up with these Midianite women, Balaam, right? All that stuff. Then they crossed over to Jordan River in the land of Canaan, and then what hits them then? Oh, these guys got iron chariots. We can't take them. Always something in it. Go ahead, Sister Brown, I see you. How many songs we singing? And if we sing them, do we sing them and mean them? Right? Something to think about. What happens to these people because they forgot the Lord? You know what he does? He hands them over to their own idolatry. He hands them over to idolatry into the land of Mesopotamia. Let's read 7, 8 through 11 real quick. And we're going to pick back up. Let me get the correct Bible out. There it is. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot their Lord, their God, and served Balaam in the groves. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against them, burning against Israel. And he sold them into the land of the Cushanarians, the king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served them 8 years, I ain't gonna keep saying that word, all right? Too many syllables. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to them, to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz. And look at the next thing, what it says. Isn't that incredible? Think he come from good stock? Caleb's brother. Now, who was Caleb? Who was Caleb? Anakims. He said, give them to me. Give me these giants. Give them to me. Yeah. He said, I'm 85 years old and still give it to me. They don't mean nothing to me because God is with me. And here comes his brother. Isn't that incredible? Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war, and the Lord delivered them from the king of Mesopotamia. And his hand prevailed against, you know that word, and the land had rest for how many years? 40 years. So what does 40 years remind you of? Yeah, the wilderness wanderings. They didn't have no rest then while they was wandering through the wilderness. Even after they crossed the Jordan River, they still didn't have any rest because they had to conquer the land, and they was afraid to even do that. Now, they commit sin by forgetting who God is. He sends them a judge, and he conquers the people that they were captured by in Mesopotamia, and the land had rest for 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. He died. So what do you think about that? Here we got a people of God right in front of us. And God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness, Peter said to the Jews of dispersion. And some people still forget the Lord and turn to idolatry. It doesn't matter what type of idolatry it is. All idolatry is sin against God. Anything that you use to put in place of God and you worship that is idolatry. So God gives them to the land of Mesopotamia. And you know how many years they spent there? 8 years. 8 years in bondage to Mesopotamia. One day is too much to be in bondage. 8 years they spent, all right? Oppressed by a foreign nation for 8 years. How about being attacked by another nation right now in the present time that we're in, and that nation takes us captive? And you know, we used to live in a certain way, right? A privileged way. For 8 years, for the next 8 years, we become captive by that foreign nation, oppressed, because we have forgotten who God was. Because God, he's going to judge every nation. This nation is going to get his judgment as well. You may not think so, but they will, all right? Consider the duration of oppression in your life. A lot of us are going through different things because Satan has put us in a hole where we are oppressed and we find ourselves in bondage because we fail to call on the Lord to deliver us from those things. And when we cry out to God, God hears us, he listens to us, and he has sent us already a deliverer. We just have to accept the Christ in our lives and let him deliver us. Some people don't want to be delivered. They just don't. It's incredible. When Hurricane Katrina swept through here, there were some people who wanted to go back to their houses, and their houses wasn't even there. And some people wanted to go to these establishments, low rentals or projects or whatever you call it, because that's what they were used to when they had something better for them. Why you want to go back to that when there's something better for you? You've been all cleaned up. You've been cleansed by God. The Spirit of God swept through your life like a hurricane, wash you with the Word, cleanse you with the Word. You became a member of Christ's body. You became a part of the church. When you cry out to the Lord, I want you to understand that God is going to hear you, because he listens to the cries of his people no matter what situation they're in. He hears you, right? Because he is compassionate and he wants to save our very lives. We serve a God who listens. And we live with a whole lot of folks who just won't listen. Sometimes it's us. We don't hear what nobody else got to say, what they're going through, because we're going through. Man, I don't want it. They often say, somebody pass by and say, how you doing? Or, you don't want to hear. Do we really want to hear that? How they doing? They're oppressed. They're in trouble. Sin is just taking over their lives. We don't listen to them. We choose not to. But I want to tell you that God listens. He listens. He listens to the cries of his people, because we're all oppressed by Satan and sin. You know what's amazing to me? It's how we can turn our back on God, and he never turns his back on us. He sits there and he listens for us. He listens. Anybody ever turn their back on you? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about somebody turning their back on you? What would be your comment on that? Just turn their backs. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where people turn their backs on us, and like the sister said, we don't like it. But what do you do about it? What do you do about it? You're in that particular, in that moment right there, in that instant. What are you going to do? We fight back. That's what we do. Ain't no sense in lying to ourselves. We're going to tell them about themselves. You can't even look me in the eye. You turn your... We feel betrayed, right? And yet we betray God every waking moment of our lives when we turn our back on the Lord and forget who he is. Yet God is still full of compassion. He's still full of mercy. and he listens. And one thing that you need to know is never too late to call him. Never too late to cry out. He's sitting there listening, listening for you, wanting you to cry out so he can rescue you, so he can rescue his people. He never says, go ahead.
So when I was reading it, it made me think about the lame man in John 5. And Jesus asked him, clearly he needed to be healed, but he asked him first, do you want to be healed?
That's right.
Because it would make no sense for me to heal you if you're not ready for that blessing. And even at the end, once he was finally healed, he let him know, don't go sin again, because something worse is going to happen.
Correct. It becomes a heart issue, a heart issue. And when you decide in your own mind that you're going to turn your heart over to God and listen to what he's commanding you to do, understand that he's there to rescue and to save you, you're going to acknowledge the deliverer that he sent. Because he did the same thing right here in the book of Judges. He acknowledged that their hearts were turned back to him because they were crying out to him, and he sent them Othniel to rescue him. That's compassion. That's grace. That's mercy. That's God. That's who he is. It's just like the prodigal son. You could never leave my house and ask for everything that you own, because to me, I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't bought nothing. Just get on out with what you got. I'm going to let you have these clothes because I'm merciful on you, but you ain't. He didn't do that to his son. Luke 15, he didn't do that. He says, okay, I'm going to give you what you want. Go and do your thing. And he was so anxious and thought about his son every day. He says he looked down the road for him every day to come back. And that's what God is doing for us. He looks down the road every day for us to come back. That boy was in oppression where he was at. His oppression got so severe, he was eating slop with pigs. He was out there in the world, unclean as could be, unfit and undeserving of God, just like we are. Still looking for him. I'm waiting for you to come home. I'm looking for you to come home. And there are those of us who are already at home, and we sin in just as much as the one who left, because we don't consider that we have it good in the house that we're sitting in. We take it for granted, and we feel we're entitled. Well, you didn't give this to me. You gave it to him, and he went out. He did all. What about me? I'm here all the time. Yeah. You come to church all the time, sit in the house of God all the time, but where's your mind? Where's your heart when it comes to serving God? You never go out there in the world and act like no fool and give up everything that you ever own and lose it. The bottom line is, this is a heart matter, because God is calling you back home to him because he wants to save your soul. And we need to think about our souls more and more in this life, because God has sent us a deliverer to save our very souls. He has. You had some? Okay, all right. So I want you to think about it for a moment. What did you ever contribute to your own salvation? What is it? You ever contribute to your own salvation?
The only thing you can do is
just say no. That's it. Just say no. Because you haven't. Have I ever contributed to my own salvation? The answer is no. And God delivers them. He saves them from a foreign king, from Mesopotamia, where they have been, because of their own sins, oppressed for 8 years, 8 long years. It would be amazing if we can turn back the hand of the clock, wouldn't it? And erase some of the things that we've done, because we know better now, so we could do better now. But God put us in that situation so that we can grow, right? We've got to embrace the growth that comes from God and His Word and His lead that He gives to us. And we've got to understand that it's never too late to turn back to God. Instead of turning our backs on God, we have to turn back to God. We've got to. What does verse 10 emphasize? It gives us a truth. Right? The only contribution they made was that they called out to God, called out to Him for delivery. And verse 10 emphasizes that truth. The Spirit of the Lord was placed on Othniel, and the Lord gave him the Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. So who was the deliverer? Who was the true deliverer? Was it Othniel? It was God. We tend sometimes to lavish ourselves and build up the ones who we think are our heroes. We see it all over TV. They still got the movies coming out. They got one now again with the Silver Surfer, right? What's that, the Avengers? Coming out again. Heroes. We relish the thought of somebody doing something for us to help us out of our oppression, and we don't relish the thought of God delivering us from that oppression. It's a big difference. When God delivers, yeah, that's what He said to the woman in John 8. He says, listen, you're going to know the truth. The truth is going to set you free. And you are going to be free indeed, not supposition of freedom. You're going to be free indeed. I'm going to set you free. The only stipulation that I have for you is what Sister Daniel says, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. They can't help it. That's incredible. They can't help it. Within ourselves, we don't have the power for anything that's victorious in our lives, spiritually or otherwise. And it took those people 8 years to figure that out. How long is it going to take you to figure out that there's nothing that you can actually do to save your soul or deliver yourself from the sin and evil that abounds in our lives? There's nothing you can do. 8 years. Only God can give us salvation. Only God has the power to give us victory in our lives. And you got to want that. You got to want it. So the result of Israel crying out to the Lord, what was the result of that? What did He give them? What did the scripture say they had? Peace. Peace. What is that? A lot of people define peace in different ways, don't they? What is peace to you? And what is this peace that the scripture is talking about right now? Anybody got an idea what this peace is?
Hmm?
Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. What's this thing?
There's no war. There's no slavery by the other nations. Like they're not at war with the other areas with their enemies.
They had peace, they had rest with God. Even though there's wars going on all around them. Just like in our lives, there's wars going all around us, and there's also a war going on inside of our soul, but we can still have peace and rest in God because we know that He has delivered us from all of that, and we are already victorious. You just got to know that you're winning. You got to know that. You're in the victor circle right now. And stop using your own strength and turn to idols and think you're able to live in peace when you're doing that. You're not. You're not going to ever rest. Because God, who rules over all things, listen to me, can do all things. So we repent because we're full of pride. And we repent because we're full of arrogance. And we repent because we think we're in control. And we turn our backs and our hearts to the Lord. We turn away from Him. You know what the Lord does over and over and over again, as we're going to see in this book, over and over and over? He gives us peace and rescue. He delivers us once again because He listens to our words. And we're promised a greater deliverance. In the 1 Corinthians 15 says that Christ is coming back. He's going to deliver us up to the Father in heaven. Boy, that's a deliverance right there that we all should be hoping for and expecting to come. We're going to all be delivered up to the Father. Deliverance from God should give us strength We get the salvation we need that only comes through Jesus Christ, because he was the chosen deliverer that God sent for each and every one of us. Not just me, but from him as well. Our help, our strength, our life is found in Jesus Christ and him alone. And peace only comes to us in our lives when we turn to God and find help for this in our time of need. Only in Christ alone, only God is able to save us and give us salvation. Nothing else is available to us outside of that realm. And we can receive his deliverer. We can receive the Christ if we turn out and call on God. But again, we got to want it. And our hearts have to be right with God. The thing about it is some folks never change. And some things never change. This is going to be a vicious cycle that we're going through here in the book of Judges. Over and over and over again, we sin, fall short of the glory of God. We pick ourselves up, we cry to the Lord, he forgives us. Don't you get tired of that? Well, Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Don't you get tired of that? You ought to want to be strengthened enough so that you can walk away from the temptation of sin, not have it affect our lives in such a way whereas we have to cry to the Lord to be delivered from the punishment that we're going through in 1 day, 2 days, 2 years, 3 years. 8 years it took these people to realize that they need to cry out to God because they had forgotten him. And we should remember. We should always remember that God has sent us to Christ to rescue us, deliver us from all evil, just like we pray, and deliver us from all evil. From all evil. We've got to stop presenting ourselves in such a way that we have forgotten God. Because people out there know who you are. They know whether you represent God or whether you don't represent God. People know who you are. Right? So let's represent him as if we know who he is and as if we have never forgotten what he's done for us in our lives. Never forgotten that his word enriches us. Not only enriches us, but enriches those that are influenced by us as well. These people had an influence. They knew who God was, but they forgot him. First generation knew God, complained the whole while. Can you imagine that? Second generation knew God, complained the whole while. Third generation knew about God, forgot him. Forgot all that he had done for their people. You know, this man has done so much for my family, I think that I'm going. When you come through generations of goodness, you can appreciate the time that you live in. When God brings us through generations of goodness, we can appreciate the times that we are in right now as we live with God and live for God. Because he constantly delivers us over and over. And we're not even deserving of the delivery. That's the thing. Because our hearts are not right with God. We got to get our hearts right with God in every situation, at every moment in our lives. We got to take it seriously. Because he can deliver us. Because we all want to find ourselves at some moment in time under the oppression of Satan. And all his will is to crush us under sin. So you got to be ready, you got to be right, and allow God to deliver you. Again, some people don't want to be delivered. You know, they don't. They're happy where they at. And what a shame. It's a shame because some people are happy where they at religiously as well. They say they know God, but they don't know anything about God. And they're happy where they are religiously because they have not forgotten God. They have never come to know God. Forgetting about God is defined in one simple word. It's called apostasy. And that's what these guys were a part of. They were an apostate nation, walking away from God intentionally because his words and the blessings in their lives didn't impact their hearts. How are you doing with that today? Is God impacting your hearts because he delivered us? from darkness into light through Jesus Christ, his son. Does it impact your life? And if it does, how does it? And if it doesn't, it's high time we acknowledge who God is and let that happen in our lives. Othniel delivered the people after 8 years. God chose him. He was full of the Spirit of God, and he was the brother of a bad boy named Caleb. He took on giants and wasn't afraid. We've got to be able to take on giants in our lives and know that God will give us the victory in everything. Everything. And deliver us from sin and evil if we cry out to him. You got to repent. That's the bottom line. Anybody got anything else? That's all I got for you this morning. Right? That's Judges. Chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Anybody got anything else? You got anything, Sister Bell? No? No. Anybody? Next week, we're going to do the rest of chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Right? Judges chapter 3, the rest of the chapter starting in verse number 12. I appreciate y'all being here this morning. Appreciate your comments. Appreciate your hearts. Let us pray. Most wonderful and gracious Father of heaven and earth, we thank you so much for this time, this day, this hour that you've blessed us to have life and have life on this earth. We ask that you might continue to breathe life into us through your Holy Spirit that you've given us at baptism. That the Holy Spirit will continue to guide us into all truth as we look into this inspired word that's been written on tables of stone, on parchment, and have been written in our hearts, that we might not ever forget who you are, and that we might not even have to memorize those things, but we can live those things in our lives, that we might not forget who you are, and we will remember. Remember that you delivered us from sin and evil, delivered us from darkness into light, delivered us from death into life as well, and we are grateful. We're grateful for your darling son, Jesus Christ, an example that he came and he showed us the Father. And if we continue to embrace the Father in our lives, we'll find ourselves in eternal heaven with you at your throne of glory. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this hour. We thank you for this time. Continue to allow us to grow and study your word. These are all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.